It says it's Daniel 3, that is the reading, and this story has a special place in my heart. If you want to follow along, I'm reading from NIV. It's a long reading, and even mine is a little bit abbreviated. It won't be showing up here. When you didn't like how that was. Okay. When Brian's family was growing up, they moved a lot. Charles was in the Air Force, and it seemed to be particularly memorable to the older sister, Marinelle. Marinelle gets to a new place, and she's in late elementary school, and the Sunday school teacher says, when he's about to teach this, "This is a heartwarming story." And Marinelle laughs out loud. Well, that wasn't supposed to be a joke. It was really supposed to be that. So Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and told on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sounds. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the burning the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he does not, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the 4th looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this."
It's time for our kids, age 3 through 3rd grade, to be dismissed for their roots time. So, let's send them out. My God is an awesome God, He reigns in heaven above.
Kind of hit the jackpot on what I'm going to get to preach about this morning. This is by far one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. Several years ago, I told Steve, whenever this story in Daniel 3, comes up, it's mine. I want it. And he never said anything to me about it again after that. And I asked him several weeks ago, when is Daniel 3 going to come up in the lectionary? So as y'all know, or some of y'all may know, that in the lectionary that we follow, it cycles every 3 years. And about that time, I was like, I think I've waited 3 years for this. And so Steve went through the lectionary that we follow. This one is not in there. They do not have the fiery furnace story in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I said, well, I think the next time there's a blank Sunday, I would like to preach this. And so here I am, preaching one of my favorite, all-time favorite stories, with one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture in it. And so I am more than excited to get to share this story with you, a story that many of us are familiar with, right? This is one of the more popular stories, I think, that we teach kids in Bible school. In fact, when I was rehearsing my sermon over and over these last couple weeks, I do it out loud in my house, and Cora listens to me, and Miss Martha is doing a great job teaching our kids because Cora was right there with me echoing back different things that I was saying. So our children are learning the deep, deepness of this story, and I think that is good. And so we're going to sit in that today. Before I get started, let's go ahead and pray, and then we will dive into God's Word. Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me. May all the hearts and minds and ears be open to what you have to say. And may your Spirit rest thick on each individual sitting in this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So this is what we would call, many scholars call, a classic martyr story within the Bible, where God comes in and he rescues his faithful people and delivers them from trouble. Dee read this so beautifully in the writer of Daniel kind of comes in and uses some satire, some humor. He's also writing this story. And you can see that in the very beginning of this story, where the writer of Daniel is really displaying Nebuchadnezzar as the evil, evil man that he is. And we begin this story where Nebuchadnezzar has this idol that he is asking all the people to bow down to. And he has come in and he has destroyed and is tearing down Jerusalem. And the Jews are in exile at this time, and they are having to go by all these laws and customs and have things that are very important from them ripped from them by a king that says, if you do not do X, Y, and Z, you will die. And so he is ruling his land, his kingdom, with fear. And he's instilled that fear, not only in the Jews and everyone that is around him, but all in all of his rulers that are underneath him. And so you see this very exaggerated language at the beginning of Daniel of all the rulers, all the counselors, all the judges, everyone, come to me and I am going to tell you this new law that all the people that are underneath you in my kingdom, they have to bow down to this God that I've erected, regardless of what gods they believe in. And whenever they hear all of these instruments, and then he lists all of these instruments, I don't even know what a zither is, but whenever you hear it, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to bow down to this God that I'm saying is important. And so all the counselors and judges and city men, they go out and they tell their constituents that whenever it happens, whenever you hear all of these instruments, you need to bow down and worship this God that Nebuchadnezzar is saying you have to worship, regardless of your beliefs. And if you do not, you will die. He will kill you. I'm guessing all of these instruments started going off at some point. And these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not bow down. And so some of these guys, I think they were the astrologers, came back and told Nebuchadnezzar, there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are not following your law. And this enrages the king. Bring them before me. And so these three men are brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to give you one more chance. And remember, I'm a pretty bad dude. And if you do not do this, you will die. And I love what the scripture, the writer of Daniel says right here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not feel like they had to justify anything or explain themselves. They knew where their loyalty, where their love, where their devotion lied. They knew where their deep faith was rooted in. And it was not whatever God Nebuchadnezzar had erected. And so they said, we will not bow down to your God. We believe our God will save us. And then one of my all-time favorite parts of scripture. But even if not, we still will not and bow down before your God. And then right there in the scripture, Nebuchadnezzar's face contorts with anger and rage because he is not getting what he is wanting. And the fear that he has put in all of the people is not working on these three guys in front of him. And so he demands that the furnace is turned up 7 times its heat. And he's like, I will show you and I will make an example in front of everyone. And the furnace is so hot that when the soldiers that are to take these three guys into the flame to throw them in, it is so hot that when they get close enough to throw the three guys in, it kills them. That's how hot the fire is. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown in to the furnace. And then an amazing thing happens. From far away, Nebuchadnezzar is kind of squinting because he can't get too close, right? The fire will kill him. It's so hot. And he's looking around, and there are not just three people walking around in the flames. There are four. Someone is there in the flames, in this fire, walking with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you go on in the scripture, and Nebuchadnezzar is amazed, and he yells, come out. One of the things with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they are doing right here is what Martin Luther King Jr. refers to as civil disobedience. And MLK Jr. defines civil disobedience as the refusal to abide by an order of the government or the state or even the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. I spent a lot of time listening to MLK Jr.'s sermons as I was preparing for this sermon. On November 5th, 1967, from his church in Atlanta, he preached from this scripture, talking about civil disobedience to a congregation full of individuals who knew what it was like to be governed or held to laws that were unjust, unfair, and not right. In his sermon, YouTube's a fantastic thing. You can get on YouTube and you can listen to him preach. And his voice is dripping with passion and understanding and depth. Because he knows what it is like to be in a place of standing up to something that is not right. And to have the majority in front of you pushing back against you, as many people in his congregation that he was preaching to know how that feels. To stand up in an act of civil disobedience. And not quite sure what the outcome is going to be. And I loved listening to his words and hearing his passion as he was talking to the people sitting in that room. Because what he was saying is that we have a great cloud of witnesses behind us, history behind us, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are saying, we are placing our faith in this place. We are trusting God. We are standing up against fear, and we are replacing it with a perfect love that casts out all fear. And we know and we trust that God can save us. But even if he does not, we will not step down. We will not sway in our faith. We will not leave God. It's there in the story that I think sometimes is the rub for me. The place of the, but if not. I love in MLK Jr.'s sermon towards the end, he divides up that there are people who have the if faith or people who have the though faith. And he says there are people who have if faith. If God does this, if God heals me of this ailment, if God doesn't let my loved one die, if God gives me X, Y, or Z, then I will believe. And then he talks about the people who have the though faith. Though this place is dark and it seems desolate and the fire is hot and I do not know what's going to happen, I will follow God anyways. And I can imagine him, and you can, when you listen to the YouTube sermon, you can hear all the people in the congregation, which is my favorite part. Because they know what it's like to sit in a place and to be clinging to the though faith. I want to be a person that leans on that side. That I don't get everything that I want. And there are places in my life that I do not have the answers to yet, and I do not know how they're going to pan out. But I also know that I don't want to be in a place that puts God in a place of you have to do X, Y, and Z, and then I will be a faithful follower. And then towards the end of the story, I think is another really important part to understand about the fiery furnace. Is God is not a God that is sitting on the outside looking in. God is a God that is in the fire with us. And there were four people walking around in there. And so when I'm in that place, when we are in that place, when our brothers and sisters are in those places of standing outside the furnace or in the middle of the fire, to be also in that place of faith and understanding that God is crawling into that space with them. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of even though I am in the middle of this fiery furnace and I do not know what the outcome is, God is my God, the one true God, and I choose Him. That is deep faith. That is though faith. And to trust that God is in that fiery furnace, is in that place with us. We are not alone. When we feel alone in these trials, in these dark places, I think these stories like the fiery furnace and many other stories that are laced throughout the scripture call us back to remember. God is with us. At the end of the sermon, Martin Luther King Jr. is getting really passionate, as he does. If you've ever listened to his sermon, he starts out really calm and drawing out words. And then by the end, his voice is shaking and he's yelling and he's really pulling the people into his point. He talks about the world looking at you and not understanding. And I think that is a little bit of what it's going to feel like. Probably it's what it felt like to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of all the people around him, all of his relatives being like, we know that you love God. You can just do this so you won't die. I think God will understand. And in this great act of civil disobedience, they said that this goes against what we know to be true. And I think about, what if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had walked in and that fire had totally just consumed them? Would this story have been for naught? And I don't think so. Because the story still would have spoken. It still would have gone towards men standing up for what they knew what was right. And choosing God's love and His faithfulness over an idol. So I think both ways. A word, a lesson, an example would have come from it. But I do like the miracle that came in the end. And I think this is a really good story that kind of ushers us into the Advent season, actually, of God with us, Emmanuel. God with us when it is really good, and God with us when it is really hard and we do not. Answer. I invite you to stand as we come and sing.